Committee meeting, April 7th. In attendance tonight, we have Alderman Colosimo, Frieders, Tarlis, Alderman Funkhauser, and myself, Alderman Cott. All right, any citizens' comments? Minutes for correction or approval. Anybody have any issues with the minutes?
Nope.
Okay, we'll approve as presented. Police reports. PS 2016-06. Police reports for January through March of 2016. Any questions? Comments?
There's nothing that really jumps out. It's kind of just status quo. Knock on wood here. You know, it's been a pretty quiet winter for the most part. And we've had a few outlier things, nothing of any major. We're getting into the busy time of the year, so along with the adjudication reports, I'm sure you'll start seeing some things going up here pretty soon. So.
Any other comments, questions? Everybody okay with accepting them as they're presented?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Next item, PS 2016-07, adjudication reports for December 2015 to March 2016. Same thing. Any comments, questions?
No, sir.
I think that seems to be holding pretty good with the hearing officers. They seem to be doing a good job right now. So.
Yeah. Who we have now, Wally and Greg? Is that who we have?
Okay. Good. Cool. Accept those as presented. Moving on, big item here, PS 2016-08, request to dispose of Hewlett Packard Design Jet 500. That's a plotter, right?
It's an old plotter. Like we said, we kind of inherited it from the other side, and it's never worked. It's time for it to go. We'll probably just try to recycle it or part it out.
Okay, so you just need committee approval on that?
Yes.
Anybody object?
No, sir.
Nope.
Okay, let's go ahead and get rid of it. Next item, PS 2016-09, Police Department Training Report. I think this was requested at our last meeting by Alderman Frieders. This is just informational, is that correct?
That's correct. It's just an informational report. It just kind of gives you a flavor of what we do at the police department. I might print off the hard copy. This is about 95% of it. A lot of times individuals go to conferences and things like that, and they'll forget to give the training officer a copy of the certificate, and so it doesn't get logged. So there's probably a little more here and there. We took our undercover guy out of here, too, so his stuff isn't in here. We're always on the lookout for training. We have certain things that we got to keep up with, certifications. And you'll see in here, too, that every month our sergeants and our officers go through a mandatory policy review, and they sign off on it. You know, and our training sergeant, which is Ray McLasic, assigns so many policies per month that have to be reviewed and signed off on.
Okay.
Ultimately, too, just talking about policies, we are looking to go to a program called Lexipol, which is standardized rules and regulations, policies and procedures for police departments. A lot of police departments are going to it in the area. It's standardized. They give us automatic updates as they need to, but by case laws, by changes in criminal laws, if there's ever any major findings with labor issues, those will be changed and reflected. And also, they have a built-in computer system where the officers actually go in the computers and actually have to do this mandatory policy review, too, where it signs off on if there's violations and that type of stuff. That we can come back and say, this guy understood the policy and, you know. So I'm looking forward to that. But
what is verbal judo?
Verbal judo is it's trying to talk people into doing things they don't want to do without using physical force. And it's a way of using your vocabulary, your body language, and your tone to get people to comply that are not wanting to comply. It's actually really good stuff.
It's taught by my wife.
Yeah, it's tough on the life. You know, it's younger, you know, we were just talking about something similar to this, you know, and our younger police officers tend to have more physical altercations, and it's just because they haven't really learned how to talk to people, and You know, it's just getting people to communicate better.
And if I'm correct, the officer that took that most recently is probably the youngest one.
Probably is.
Okay.
We try to get our youngest officers into that pretty quick.
All right. And the things that are labeled ICS, is that crime scene?
ICS?
Yeah.
ICS is Incident Command Systems. That's the federal stuff that ties into disaster preparedness.
And okay.
All our supervisors have to go to mandatory ICS training, and there's different levels, and it's a scam by the federal government.
Do we have to pay the federal government for those?
No, actually, it is free.
Okay, good.
But it is free to us, but their instructors and everybody are, you know, getting paid to do it. And, you know, I got to say, it is good training, but it is very redundant. And,
yeah.
You know, but every time you get a promotion, you got to go to two or three different classes more.
You know, gotcha.
You know, then they'll change about every 5 years and make you take them again.
Now, when you list YPD in-house training, mm-hmm. the course, like on this one, it's 00660, and I don't see any. Well, there is actually February 9th and then also on January 31st. The course is labeled the same, and then you also have duplicate officers in there. Is the course different for the date but not for the name?
There could have been different components.
Okay.
If that makes any sense, they could have broke it down 1 hour is this, 1 hour is that, and they could have come back and retaken it. But what page are you on?
All right, so 62 and 61 of mine, which is probably 59 and 60 of yours.
Let me see if I can get down to that.
It'll say YPD in-house training, and then it says the course number is 00660, but then it happened on February 9th, January 31st, and January 19th. And Charles Davis was in all three.
He's an instructor.
Ah, well, that would make a lot of
sense. He was teaching it.
Okay, good.
Yep. That's what that was. That was probably range.
Okay.
Yeah, Chuck Davis is he's one of our part-timers. He's retired Aurora Sergeant. Real wealth of information.
And then do they do the FOIA online every year, or is it every 2 years?
I'm not sure. I believe it's every year.
It is every year.
Yeah.
You take advantage of a NEMR training?
Yes. NEMR is Northeast Multi-Regional Training. It's through the Illinois Training Standards Board. It's our MTU, our mobile training unit that's in our region. We pay a fee every year for every officer we have and every civilian that we have in the police department. And then we get to go to classes at greatly reduced prices. Some of them are free. Some of them are $100. But a lot of the classes, if you look in here, like the verbal judo, that was through NEMR.
Okay.
They offer everything from crime scene processing to interviewing witnesses to firearms training, and there's a whole big wealth of stuff that we get through them.
What does ITOA stand for?
ITOA, that's Illinois Tactical Officers Association. That's a SWAT association. They do training conferences. That probably would have been Michelese or Carlisle that went to that.
Yeah. And then leads is the thing that we do for the pawn shops in the area.
There's two different leads. There's leads online, which is pawn shops, and leads training is for using the computer for the running license plates, running criminal histories. Every officer has to be certified in that leads, and we have to do refreshers, I think, every 2 or 3 years on those too.
Okay.
But that's the if you see if it's the pawn shops, it's leads online.
Yeah, all right.
Now, for your leads training, are you doing less than full access for most of the officers?
Yes.
Do we have anybody that's fully trained on it?
No.
Okay.
No, we don't have any in-house access. It's all in the cars.
Okay.
And it's kind of just for that purpose.
So then, since we're using KenCom, obviously, they're all fully trained. So.
Yeah. Well, what he's talking about is the full access gives you rights to run, driving abstracts and things that are really intense. And since we don't have a dispatch in the station or we don't have an actual computer in the station, we can do that. We don't do that. That's great responsibility, and it's just something that we don't use very often, and that's what KenCom's kind of there for. But the leads certification we do gives the guys just the right to run criminal histories and license plates and that kind of
just
stuff.
Just the basic stuff.
Check
entering somebody
property.
For a warrant or that, you go through KenCom.
Yeah, we don't enter warrants in the computer ourselves or any of that. KenCom's trying to push that onto us, but...
Okay, any other comments, questions about this? I'm encouraged to see that we're doing this much training. And just out of curiosity, other than the mandatory, what's your policy? You just put it out there, see what interests the officers? Or
what we do is the people that are in specialized positions, school officers, detectives, there's always associations for them that they belong to, and we encourage them to go to conferences. And I know the front office ladies are going to a New World conference, I think at the end of April.
That's the computer system, right?
Yeah, that's our database that we store all our reports. And, you know, we work with it jointly with Oswego, Plano, and Kendall. But as far as, like, the NEMRC catalog, we distribute it to all the officers, and we give them a choice to take whatever classes they're interested in. We also make some of them mandatory. Every one of our officers is a crime scene processor. Every one of them is a breathalyzer operator. Every one of our officers is a juvenile officer, where most departments try to pick one or two per shift.
Yeah.
And we've always stuck to, we want everybody on that shift to do it, and gets everybody well-rounded, then we're not calling people in for overtime to do that stuff. And a lot of time other agencies, you know, they'll call us into the sheriff's office to do their breathalyzers for them because they don't have certified people to do that. But that's one thing that I inherited that was a real good policy, that send everybody to as much training as you can get them to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do we have any officers that are EMTs?
No, not currently. We have some that were, but didn't keep it up. But that's one of those things that comes and goes about every 5 or 10 years. Where we'll try to, we've actually in the past paid for people to do it, but the problem is you got to keep it up, and that's a perishable skill. If you don't use it, you lose
right.
it. And,
right.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else have anything on that? Otherwise, that's informational only. Next item, PS 2016-10, police facility planning. I actually asked that this be put on for this meeting, just to get the ball rolling, get us thinking about it a little bit. And the plan that you included is from 2005, if I'm not mistaken. That's obviously the most recent one that we have.
Yeah, that was, and all we had was the diagram, you know, the actual plans. Nobody really knows where they went to. I don't know if we actually got them done. Actual physical floor plans, we had like a diagram.
Yeah, this was the extent of what we did with the space needs analysis. That's your bubble plan. It just shows the relationship between different departments and divisions and flows, pedestrian traffic flows and those type of things. So I don't recall that we did anything engineering or design related. It was just this planning type document.
What would we be talking to bring this up to date? I know a lot of things have changed in 11 years. How much work are we looking at? Is that a lot of this be done in-house, you think? Or?
Well, it all starts with that, with the study, you know, and which would have been talked about in the planning meeting, about doing a study of all the city buildings and their uses, and that's where it's going to begin, is with that. That'll show what, you know,
our needs are. I mean, looking at this study, because it's so old, looking at the usage and the numbers and the projected officers and all that, I mean, it's pretty much needs to be redone.
Yeah.
We were projected to be like 120 officers at this point in time, back in 2005, I think.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that, but
we had spent, I think, $120,000, I want to say, first time around on the plan for everybody. So certainly that could be pared down a little bit. And I think that actually included the downtown vision plan, too, at the time. So a fraction of that, if you wanted to redo a space needs analysis. But I do agree with Rich that probably the first step is getting the actual maintenance building needs done, and then making the decision as to whether you're looking at a space needs for this type of a building or a new building or something different.
Okay. And that would be done by who then?
We haven't picked the contractor yet.
We would have to go out for bids on that?
Not even bids. We think that we can do all the city facilities for less than $20,000, so we're just gathering quotes right now and starting to talk to people.
Okay. So you got this rolling already?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is kind of, we talked about at the insurance renewal time, right?
Yeah. That you should have an updated value, basically, of the, you know, the buildings, and that'll all play into, you know, if this building is worthless because the maintenance needs are so ridiculous because we haven't done anything to it in 10 years. You know, then it's, you know, going towards a space needs analysis and saying, you know, what is reasonable for 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and then figuring it out from there.
What is the outlook for continuing to use the county for holding facilities?
The sheriff has agreed to do that. That there's no conflicts. No, the only thing that he asked for is the booking fees that they can require through bond. That they get those, and we said you can have them. The only thing is if we add on to our facility, or if we remodel, or from what I understand, then we're required to come up with some lockup facility issues. Depending on what we do, I think we can do some minor remodeling. But if we do like a big thing, we've got to build holding cells. You know, and I'm not sure the exact specifications on that, but
because I remember back when we built this building, the big issue was being so close to all the schools that some parents had concerns that we were holding prisoners here and that, and obviously we're not. But and has that been we don't do it, so it's really not an issue. But do you hear any complaints about the police department being so close to the schools?
We do not. I have not, but I mean, I've always said I do have concerns. We're bringing registered child sex offenders and registered sex offenders into this building, and we require them by law to come in. And so, I mean, we are bringing people into the campus area here that probably have no business being here legally, but it's just something that we moved in here before those things became issues. And, you know, it's not anything anybody's complaining about, and, you know, knock on wood, we haven't any issues, but. But we do bring people here 24/7, and we do have, you know, some pretty serious individuals that probably shouldn't be around libraries and schools sometimes. But.
Can anybody have comments here?
Well, I mean, there's no question we're in desperate need of a police department. The question is financing it. I mean, Plano's ahead of us when it comes to having suitable facilities for their city. Obviously, they have holding cells. They have a beautiful department. So eventually, something needs to be done. There's no two ifs, ands, and buts about it. I like the idea, and we've kind of tiptoed around it about, you know, maybe the old Second Bank, and, you know, that's a building that's already there. It can be retrofitted for a police department to buy us, you know, more time, obviously. They would have their own standalone building that's centralized in the downtown area. We could build cells in there. It's a secure building. It was a bank. Yeah. You know, so there's a lot of good things about that building. You know, the owner's open to the idea of selling it, adds additional parking to the downtown area. There's just a lot of check marks over there. And I know we've tiptoed around it and talked about it. I mean, building a $15 million facility right now, we just can't do it.
Right.
But then we also can't ignore it. I mean, they have to. If we move them out, then we extend the life of City Hall.
Yeah.
You know, now we have more room for City Hall. We have more room for, you know, the people downstairs can come upstairs, and then we have open areas downstairs. I mean, there's just a lot of trickle down that comes from something like that. So even though it's an upfront cost, I mean, you might be able to buy yourself a decade for, you know, $1 million and a million of renovations and, you know, whatever it is, but a lot less than the $15-20 million to build a police department.
Right.
Yeah, I think we got to keep all options open. And you hit it on the head. It's what can we afford? Mm-hmm. The one thing I do not want to see us do, before we had this building, our PD bounced around.
Yeah.
And it was pretty sad situation.
We were in four buildings in 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like the idea, though. I see what Sandwich is doing. They're trying to get into an existing building, as long as it works.
Right.
You know.
I think that's the more economical way to do it. Is you get into a building and retrofit it, versus starting from scratch and building a campus. I mean, you just can't afford to do that today.
Right. Well, it's also realistically speaking, what location that the city already owns would fit for that? That's centrally located. I don't think of any off the top of my head.
Wouldn't have one.
So that's, I like the idea of starting it when it's not an emergency. Because once it's an emergency, we start making kind of rash decisions and you end up spending more money. But I also like the idea of allowing the entire city to be kind of analyzed to, number one, tie down what our existing kind of liabilities are, but then also have an outside person kind of inform us where we should be kind of spending our money in the next 5 to 10 years. So I know the police station is a pretty touchy subject just because of where it's located now. And also, relocating City Hall would make sense if this building was too much to take care of. So I'm all in favor of allowing kind of nature to run its course as far as this kind of citywide survey, and then kind of make the decision. And then maybe look at something, you know, the two options, retrofitting something that's available, that's realistic, or, you know, starting from scratch. But if we did start from scratch, it'd have to be big enough to be able to start small and then expand, because we can't go out and build the police palace. You know, it's just not gonna fly in York.
Well, it'd have to be like the courthouse, you know, they have those huge shells in there, where, you know, you also can't build it too small,
right?
Because by the time you're done, before you're done paying for that building, you need a new building.
Right.
And now what? So you have to put the money, if you're going to do it from scratch, you have to do it right, you have to put the money into it, and you have to actually almost make it bigger than you need.
Right.
Don't put the money into the interior improvements.
Yeah.
You put shells in that are just empty spaces, and that's where the expansion will be in the future, which will save you long term. And that's what they did at the courthouse. I mean, if you go in there, you go to the state attorney's office, you open a door, and it's just this huge empty shell. Mm. You go into the public defender's office, you open a door, there's this huge empty shell. You know, there's empty shell courthouses, courtrooms upstairs that aren't built out yet, but it's there.
It's there when they need it.
So when they need it, they're going to be able to build out. If we build it too small to save money, what
there's
are we
a
doing?
Lot of, there's a lot of really neat concepts out there on how to expand. You know, when Oswego built their building 23 years ago, they didn't build with in mind a real narrow property. They can't expand. They couldn't do nothing. But a lot of them now, if you look at a lot of the ways these departments like us and cities that are continuing to grow, even a little slightly, even though the Depression hit, our recession hit, they've got some neat campus-type facilities that are real easy to expand, and, you know, where you can have indoor ranges that are detached, not part of the building,
right.
Where if you can't afford to build it, when you build this, you know, the station down the road, you can build that, and, you know, and just some really neat ideas out there.
Yeah,
just cuts
down on money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it, you know. And I mean, the moral, you know, the whole thing comes down to is we're holding, you know, because we're not expanding with our numbers right now, but eventually we're going to have to start expanding officers, and that's where the problem's going to lie. And a building for us, as we know, takes years to do.
Right. You
know, are we busting at the seams by your estimation?
You know, we are tight right now. We've got lockers down hallways in the basement and stuff, and we are really tight on space. You know, we've been at this level or lower for the last almost 10 years. You know, eight years right now that we've been at around 30 officers. So,
and we also talked about how indoor storage of cars would make the maintenance costs a little bit lower because they wouldn't be kind of stuck.
That would be
out.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen apartments and they've even put up like a pole barn.
Yeah.
Where it necessarily doesn't even have to be heated or air-conditioned, but just getting them out of the elements, getting them inside. And,
how much was Plano, and how did they pay for it?
You know, Plano, I think they paid less than $5 million for that building. If you go walk into it, it's real unique. It's not laid out like a police department. It's they cut a lot of corners, but they got, for what they did, they got a pretty good deal. You know, they're going to have some expansion issues in the future. They won't be able to expand where they're at.
No, not on that site.
They're already landlocked.
They're already
there. So that's the only thing that they really did wrong is they put their facility in a landlocked area. You know, depending on who knows. I mean, if the population never changes, they're going to be good for 50 years, 75 years. But if our population start increasing in time again, they're going to outgrow that real fast.
Yeah.
So what do? Yeah. Do they flip bonds? Any idea, Bart?
I don't. I'd have to go back and look.
I think they might have. I could be wrong, but was that $3.5 million or $5.5 million?
Five sounds correct.
But it wasn't much. I mean, you know what's Oswego talking now? If I remember, $15 million.
Yeah, at Montgomery, I want to say they were 11 or 12. Yeah.
That's a nice building.
Yeah, and
that's
I don't.
A good spot too because they can definitely expand.
Yeah, I don't see. You know, ours being much more than Plano's if we really wanted to keep it bare bones.
5, 6.
Yeah.
7.
But I think when you, to me, anytime you get beyond like $2 million, you know, when you're getting in that range, you should spend money so that you're set basically for the next 50 or 60 years.
Yeah.
So I'd be hesitant about making a recommendation to move into the downtown or something else. Something where you can really spread out if you have to. And, you know, with police, you've got all the unique security issues with cars and evidence and bringing people in. You'd want to kind of set somewhere where there's open space. So So years ago, one of the offshoots of this study was the decision to take those 8 acres in Kendall Marketplace that were then subject to litigation. So the thought had been kicked around, and I don't know if it had ever been like endorsed as a good idea even by your predecessor or you, but you know that you would eventually shift just to the west side of Beecher, so almost like just west of Target. And while it's not centrally located, especially as compared to this building, it is probably within the realm of like a north central, you know, from the total footprint of the city. So when we did this study too, we did talk about doing two police stations. If you ever get to the point where you're getting to be 70, 80,000 people, which our footprint, you know, it's not out of the question 50, 60 years from now, you know, you would need one on the south side of the river too. So, you know, that was the other reason why maybe going a little bit north, since more of the population there isn't the worst thing in the world. So we do have some land, and I think the developers in that area would be okay with doing so if we had to. I mean, there's other options and other parks and type of things that you could, you know, you can make some things work, and land is cheap now too, so it's probably as good a time as I need to be looking at, you know, buying land.
So, I mean, what is the goal of our conversations here? Are we just kicking tires here, or are we legitimately, seriously starting to say, okay, now is the time for us to look at land, come up with an idea, and start seriously doing this? Or are we just kicking tires right now and discussing future thoughts?
I think that's
both.
Yeah,
personally.
I think it's also you have to assess the need first. So having that determination made citywide, because if there is a need for more than one facility, which there probably is, maybe there's a way to not only combine facilities to, you know, make things a little bit more efficient, but maybe there's going to be a recommendation down the road that, well, if we did all of these things on a citywide campus, it would make more sense. So I think that what has to come first is the stuff. Yeah, where everything's in that little pocket. But it's also big enough where it all kind of works.
I think Romeo spent $35 million, I think, for that building. Mm-hmm.
But you talk about having
a big building that covers
side.
Everything. Mm-hmm.
Aurora only has the one police department, and that's on the far northeast side. Like, how does that work when there are 200,000 people and their main hub is...
They don't have any satellite facilities.
They have crime.
Yeah, I don't think they have the satellites anymore.
No.
They got rid of all of them.
It's called crime.
Right.
Everything's out of that one.
You ever play SimCity? Yeah. Yeah. Where you don't put a police department, there's
they
crime.
They got rid of all their satellites. You know, and there's a lot of talk, you know, because a lot of these cities like ours, they can't build the downtown area anymore. And, you know, Plainfield, Montgomery, they've all done that. And I haven't heard any complaints from any of them. You know, everybody's mobile in their cars nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was traditional to keep your police department in the center of your town. But we're not, you know, we're responding in vehicles. Our people don't hang out at the station and wait for calls.
Right.
They're dispersed, you know, throughout geographic areas of the city, you know, in patrol areas. And
you have a patrol on the south side of town at all times.
Right.
It's not like somebody has to leave Target to get to the south side of town.
It's like Bart said, there was talk originally of doing another substation on the south side of town.
Mm-hmm.
That it wouldn't necessarily be manned 24/7, but people could go down there, pick up the phone, an officer would show up, and that's what happens outside of business hours right now. If you know, they'll come out front, pick up that red phone, and an officer will drive up and meet them.
I think the big concern with our city is the fact that you got one bridge getting you from one side of town to the other, and God forbid something happens to it, you got to make sure you've got protection where you need it. So no, I think this is we need to start the discussion. I mean, where's it going to go? I don't know. Let's see what the study brings. But if there's something out there that'll work and we can afford it somehow, I mean, why keep kicking the can down the road? It's going to have to be done at some point.
So I do know that Oswego's police station is paid for by their sales tax increase. So I had talked to Dan about that. So
Montgomery did MFT.
Montgomery built their two facilities like during the boom years. So I think they basically counted on impact fees and general revenues. And I know for a little while there they were hurting pretty badly because of, you know, those two debt service payments.
It didn't. I remember Montgomery's. I thought it was mostly motor fuel, and then they used a referendum to fix the roads that would have been paid for by the MFT.
Yeah,
at that point,
sure.
You're just robbing Peter to pay Paul. Yeah.
Right, but that's...
You just leave motor fuel for the road and then do a referendum for the
right.
department.
Right.
So taking the long-term view, you know, it's going to take a few years to get this thing built. You've only got like 17 years left of Rob Roy sewer debt payments, and you've already got the sales tax in place. So, I, realistically, and honestly, the revenue
only
stream is there.
Years left from Rob Roy?
I think it's only 17 years. I'd have to go back and check. I mean, honestly, by the time you plan it out, you might only be looking at like 5 years of having really bad debt service payments and being out of pocket before you, you know, get to the end where a lot of your debt service is going to drop off. So.
And then you just pick it up with the PD.
Yeah, I realize how insane that comment sounds, but yeah, it's you know, when you lay it out on the 20-year spreadsheet, it's something that you could start to say, hey, within this 5 to 10 year period, you could be looking at it. So.
And this plan that was done in 05, this was for, like, was there an intention for where it would be cited?
No. No, not
this
at all.
Was just a pie in the sky.
There was talk on 34.
Right.
The property on 34.
It was actually going to go kind of behind the Home Depot back in there originally. Right. And there was some uproar in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
The neighborhood was real upset about it and didn't want it located there.
Right. Well, if you wanted to keep it on 34, that cornfield that's just east of the Inland building now, that's like the center of town.
Yep. So the thought was doing the space needs analysis that you know a general idea of square footage and expansion possibilities so that you, when somebody comes in front of you, like the Kendall Marketplace developer, you can say, I want 8 acres in exchange for everything else that you're doing. And they gave it to us, and the residents objected to it.
Got it.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is keep this on our agenda since we're meeting quarterly, maybe, you know, we come back in 3 months, just to see if there's anything new, anything.
Yeah, I would expect there to be, you know, pretty major movement on the study if it's not completed. I don't think it takes that long to do. It's more of just understanding it.
Okay. All righty. Unless anybody has anything else, let's keep moving here. PS 2016-11, crosswalk pedestrian signage. I'm not really sure why this is on here, to be honest with you. We've been talking about this at great length at Public Works. I know, obviously, Public Safety, the PD here, has input into this, but it's really something that I think belongs in Public Works, unless there's a reason not to.
I know that a couple residents had contacted the mayor, and I know a couple residents, some of the same residents, have contacted different aldermen just about school-related issues with crosswalks. Bristol Bay, obviously, is the most frequent one, but you know, in the past couple weeks, we've seen Autumn Creek has been emailing us, and you know, really, we do get phone calls every so often, basically on every school, and with multiple intersections around each school. So
I get approached every time there's a school function talking about right here by City Hall. Because during the day, so many kids are crossing.
Yep.
Parkview. You know. We get a lot about Parkview lately, too.
And now the game farm doesn't have potholes. People drive faster.
Right.
I mean, the potholes were a good thing.
Yeah, I've actually gone out here and watched them a few times in the last few weeks, just because I've gotten some more, too, and it's mayhem.
Yeah.
It's chaos. With these kids, I mean, the kids don't use the crosswalks. I mean, it's just...
They have so many kids going from the freshman academy to the high school for classes back and forth all day long. So, I don't know. I was of the opinion, I mean, because it's teachers who are bringing this to me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if the school isn't doing something out here, maybe they want to go halves on it, you know?
Build a pedestrian bridge.
That's why I told the superintendent that a few weeks ago. So why don't you build a...
I think in the past we've just addressed these on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. For example, the one I keep harping about is the one on Route 47 in Main.
Main Street. Mm-hmm.
And we're moving ahead with that. Now we've got approval from Public Works. We're going to get the flashing beacon. You hit the button. Hopefully it'll alert people to stop for somebody trying to cross. So that seems we're making progress. We're just waiting on state approval. Now, as far as we also addressed the Bristol Bay situation. So, we've had engineers study it. We'll be looking to do a citywide study or just continue to look at them as necessary.
I'd say it's necessary, you know.
Okay, do we want to add this one to our Public Works list and maybe have Engineering Enterprises come up with a proposal for what it's going to take to make it safer? Yeah, you know, it's just each one's obviously unique.
I'd say so. I mean, I think this one here, they got so many kids crossing. I mean, like I said, I've had a lot of comments from school officials on this one here.
Yeah, so we got two crossing guards out here, too. We have one on our payroll and one on the school's that's working it.
And Friday there all day? Or
No, they're just there
in the morning and the afternoon.
But I mean,
but kids are crossing all day long.
Right? Yeah, kids are PE. Kids are crossing all the time, and yeah, we do
crossing
pull
anywhere
over
from the library down to the tennis courts. They're not using the two designated crosswalks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as they cross, they walk wherever they feel.
Yeah, we've talked to the principal at the high school too in the past that you got to make sure these PE teachers, because sometimes these kids straggle in a long line. Yeah. You know that where you're like you should get them all through at once instead of letting them straggle and go on their own and make them use the crosswalks instead of coming through the grass, and it can be pandemonium sometimes. You know, when schools getting out and coming in. I know the more recent complaint we've been getting is the grade school over here where the buses pick up. They flip that arm up, but they have like a turn in for the buses off of Game Farm now, and they'll flip that arm up, and people think because they're in the lane, not in the road, they don't have to stop.
Right.
So it's confusion sometimes.
Well, if we did go forward with something up here that was as bright and shiny as the one on Main and 47, that would be used a lot because, I mean, hometown days
you know,
over there, so that might actually be more necessary.
That's how do I word this? It's more of an engineering issue with a lot of these things because every place has got their own unique wants, and there's probably 20 or 30 of them around town that are going to want these.
Ooh.
And how do you say no to one if you
right.
to another one? And
right.
it, you know, and it becomes okay. They got one. You know, then every park's going to want one. Mm-hmm. Every school's going to want a couple of them in some schools. It's just going to turn into where do we, you know, where's this going to get?
Can we
control?
Deal with the issue here on Game Farm with just some landscaping? You know, along the edge of the road, 3-foot bushes, except for the openings to cross the streets. All we have to do is maintain them. Just for the library to the tennis courts and across the street, the same equal distance, we landscape along the road, and you only leave the openings for the crosswalks, and the kids don't have the option to. At least it funnels traffic.
Lawns are barberry boys.
See, I'm using some of my SEPTED training that I.
As I say, SEPTED. You went to SEPTED.
I did back in the day.
They don't even have it anymore.
They don't have SEPTED anymore.
No.
Crime prevention through environmental design.
Yeah.
Well, you might be able to do that. I guess my thought is like have me, Eric, Brad, and Rich, and whoever else in the different departments sit down and figure out where, like, the majority of the complaints and the actual issues are. Of all the things that have been complained to us and that we've talked about, nothing is a safety issue. Nothing has risen to the level of Brad, Eric, and Rich have looked at it and said, you absolutely have to do this because it doesn't meet some sort of standard or safety regulation, and we're going to be liable, basically, if we don't fix it. There's a lot of things that aren't ideal about it, and, you know, you go to other towns and you might see the flashing LED signs, but there's nothing that we're going to say is like, you have to do this because we're deficient on it. They're going to say, yeah, depending on how much you want to spend, you're going to get various, you know, increases in either perceived safety or actual safety. You know, the landscaping is a good example of it. You know, you're physically restricting somebody's movements, unless they run through the bush, of course. So, you know, by doing that, you might have, you know, some sort of exponential factor of, you know, increase in safety, but it's going to be on, you know, a very small scale. So we can take a look at it and throw out a couple things to either solve logistics issues or complaints and then perceive safety problems.
Has school administration ever contacted us regarding any of this?
No.
For me, I mean, it's just individual teachers coming up to me concerned.
You know?
One of them was a band teacher because I know band kids have to go back and forth, you know?
And they're usually lugging their instruments and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where we're the ones that have been addressed to me, and as we told them, I said, you just can't let these kids straggle, you know, stream out in like one here, one there, because then it just...
Sometimes when you get caught there, it's literally this long 300-foot stream of children because there's like 8 feet between each of them, not enough for you to go.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're going to gun it between two kids, which you're not going to do. So you're literally sitting there for this long gaggle of children because you're right, they're not.
You know, that's what we've tried.
We should make a march in formation.
There you go. March in formation. Especially the band kids.
Getting out of this town.
Get the drums. Boom, boom, boom. No, but we have the individual teachers I've talked to, the PE coach, one of them. I said, you know, bring the kids up with the coach, bring them all across at once, and that problem's going to be relieved. You know, because when you bring 20 or 30 kids all across at once, they're going to stop.
Right.
You know, but when you got, like you said, that trickle, or there's five kids here, and then 30 feet, there's two kids.
Somebody's going to try to
check
right
between
them.
Through there. Yep. I said that's a real simple problem that the teachers can resolve. You know, and then we do for the times when they're not supervised, like getting to and from school at the end of the day, there's crossing guards out there. If the kids will go to the crossing guards.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them cross right through the grass and come through the library parking lot, the police department parking lot, and damage our cars.
So is this parking back here now a permanent situation?
Yes, this is overflow parking back here. So a lot of the athletes, like football season, a lot of the athletes will park back here if they're going to have football practice after school. Or like right now, the sophomores who get their licenses can park this year. So this is like unrestricted parking. Any of the kids that got a parking permit can park anywhere back here. So they draw the numbers for over there at the beginning of the year.
So this isn't going away?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, here's my opinion. I think, number one, we need to look at where the complaints are coming in, identify where the problem areas are. And I personally think we need to continue, be consistent, bringing the public works. Do what we did with the other two, and, you know, let them do a study, let them make a recommendation. And then we look for the funding. And in this situation, if you're talking mainly school kids, I mean, it seems to me the school district ought to be coming up with some money here.
The school district has always been willing to talk to us and entertain ideas, and they've always consistently told me no, they're not interested in spending money on this. So, you know, you can get into the whole conversation about the intergovernmental agreement, which is still not resolved. But, you know, they have told us, you know, no, we're not interested in paying for it. You know, we're willing to assist here and there.
How? But telling us they want it?
Well, either, you know, looking at resources for, like, you know, crossing guards, you know, trying to make sure that, like, people know, you know, that there is a crossing there, and that, like, Bristol Bay is the example, you know, that a whole bunch of kids are going to be crossing between this time and this time, and they put out flyers to the parents. So they're interested in doing things like that, but they, to this point, have not expressed any interest in, you know, formally doing something. We're going to bring it up, and my hope is that if we bring it up on the larger scale where there's multiple crossings, and we do think that there's an issue and there's a quantifiable number, that they might then contemplate it, but usually they just tell me no.
Anybody else have any comments? Alrighty.
How do you want me to mark this? Well, informational item?
My opinion is we need to, like I said, you know, identify the areas and then put it on public works, unless the chairman's got an issue with that.
I have no problem if we send it over to public works to talk to our engineering firm.
I agree. I think you need to go to public works too. I can always put input in if they got questions on the public safety end of it.
Yeah, like staff, like Bart said, staff can get together and see if there is a problem or if there are other problem areas and make recommendations from that point.
Yeah. Okay. We have no old business, any additional business. I've got one thing that I do want to bring up, and I had a talk with the chief last week. Our police car, our vehicle situation here. Number one, I appreciate that you found money to find a couple admin cars. As we approach the end of the fiscal year here, is there any potential? I guess where I'm going, I don't want to see us fall behind with our vehicle situation. We know what that's like. You start spending more money on repairs than you would be on a new vehicle. And you've got concerns that we're getting there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. If we're spending $600,000 per year for the next 3 years and then $300,000 after that, by definition, we're falling behind.
Yeah. What's the solution to that, though? That's the problem.
Yeah, you chip away at it as you can when you have surpluses. And to the extent the revenue projections turn around, do you guys feel better about staying above 30% fund balance in the long term? You keep ratcheting up purchases here and there.
Well, I guess to me, what I'd like to do is if we've got anything extra on this budget that we can afford, I'd like to consider at least getting maybe one more car as a priority. Just to, like you said,
overall city budget, not just necessarily police budget.
Sure.
I mean, at the end of the year, if some other departments, there was a surplus, mm-hmm. I agree. If we have a little bit of a surplus and we're going to either do this or that, in my opinion, that's a good allocation of those resources.
Absolutely.
Even if we only get one extra car or two, that'd be great.
I just opened up an envelope. There was a check for $51,000. Who was that from?
Police car. Nightcore.
Oh.
There you go. There's a police car.
Yeah, some of that.
I can make it work.
I wanted to bring that up because I just don't want to see us. I know what it's like when you fall behind. It's not a good situation. And if there's any way we can make some progress, I think we need to be looking into it.
Well, we're pinching pennies and doing what we can right now on just the general budget. We're going to try to sit down next week and try to make a really good prediction on how far under we're going to be and see what those possibilities may bring up. So there's a small possibility we might be able to squeak out an admin car, one more admin car, and that'll fill the admin needs, almost fill the admin. We'll need one more, but we could wait another couple of years on that one.
I don't think it has to be tied necessarily to the fiscal year either. You could wait until June when hopefully the numbers are firmed up and Rob can say with certainty, it wasn't just that we were 50 grand better, it was that we were 250 grand better, and then you can make at least a better decision. So we'll sit down and try to do it certainly before the end of the year and try to get it done, but I don't think we need to rush it.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, though, if you can start snooping around for a deal like you got the first time there.
Definitely. Those don't happen very often. Everything fell right in line there.
Yeah. Well, next time I buy a car, I'm talking to you first.
That was a miracle how that all worked out. It went smooth. I've never seen anything happen like that, that fast.
Okay, that's all I have. Unless anybody else has anything?
I just got a notification from a neighbor. I sent it to you. Late model gray sedan creeping around Meadowview, trying to go into people's side doors on their garages.
Oh, wonderful.
About 4 o'clock today. Mm.
Yeah. So they sent it to your neighborhood, they sent it to my neighborhood. Yeah. So since I just got it, I forgot to let you know. So
that's
I sent you a
like
copy
to live
of the message.
Safe south of the town.
I heard just a really about someone burning, too. I sent it to Bart.
In the early
burning.
Just a week.
Right, Larry's got to go home with his wife's birthday.
You wanted the printer on consent, right?
Meeting adjourned.
All right.